Welcome to Breaking Bread, hosted by me, Crunk Chocolate, a show where we break verbal bread with the quote-unquote enemy. Whenever Manchester City has an upcoming match, I will be here having a conversation with an upcoming opponent of City, their supporter. Shout out to all those watching on YouTube, Twitch, or Twitter. Subscribe to the channel, hit the thumbs up if you're watching the video. And please, all you lovelies enjoying this replay, hey, hi, hello, appreciate you. Thank you for coming here and giving me a bit of your time post-show. I appreciate you. Light up those comments and your thoughts of what you're having about. Wednesday, Manchester City, welcome. Aston Villa to the Etihad, longing for the chance to get our lick back from City's last Premier League loss. City won't be playing with six defenders this time. KDB and Rodri are back, which makes me feel a bit better about this match. However, Villa are tricky, and Emery, he loves himself a challenge to help us better understand Wednesday's opponent, Shea Gang. Please, I want you to give it up for Sam of Villa Park Podcast. Yes. Hi. Hello.
Hello. How's it going, hello, friend? Yeah, I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for being on.
You're welcome. Although we're an hour after we schedule, very much like World War II, the Americans come in late. So but we made it here. So I'm excited.
And it's crazy because I don't know what happened. Like, I believe it was supposed to be a 5-hour time zone difference. So I don't know.
I'm going to tell you what happened to make you feel a little bit better about yourself. Yes. Our clocks went forward.
Okay, so there has been a time zone difference. Okay,
our clocks went forward okay. On the weekend, so we went forward an hour, which explains why we're forward an hour. I won't hold it against you, but I had to.
Okay, I appreciate it. No, please, no, give it to me. It's deserved. It is deserved. Yeah,
you know what? The hope is that Man City don't turn up until after an hour. But hopefully, it's a sign of things to come.
The fans will be there, but the players will be just kicking in the locker room.
We'll start with that, you know.
Well, this question I love asking because it does work both ways. I know in England, normally it's you pick a team where you're born, but you know, there's multiple tiers also. So I don't know, maybe you root for another local, more local, grassroots team, but how did you become a supporter of Aston Villa?
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have the most exciting story to that because I was born about 10 minutes away from the ground, from Villa Park, where we play. I was born and raised in Birmingham, where Villa are from, and that was pretty much it. I didn't really have a choice. There's a saying from Villa fans is that you don't choose, you are chosen, and that was the case for me. So it's always been Villa, and I just lucky to have been so close to it. I know it's tough, obviously, for yourself. You know, you're not sort of locals, so you can't go to loads of the games, and it's hard to sometimes maybe stay in touch with your team. But for me, I kind of grew up around it, and that's as exciting a story as you'll get out of me for that.
No, that's fine. I love hearing everybody's story, and the idea of being born into it. We're born into other teams from other leagues and things like that. But honestly, I wasn't any of those. My family's not a big sports family. I was able to kind of just choose, and some of them are kind of, well, they're all very random. And it just really, where I live, we don't have a pro team. College is everything, and we're gritty. Shout out to University of Iowa. They have a big match tonight against LSU. So the idea is always coming in as a plucky underdog and being able to take over people and being in amongst the top. 2002 FIFA, I was playing with a friend, and I was scrolling through the leagues and all that stuff, and got to the Division II. I saw a real cool light blue emblem, and I was kind of like all in from there. I didn't know Manchester City existed. I mean, I really wasn't too big in football in the first place. I kind of just went all in there. There was like Bennett, like Beckham. There was just so much Manchester United propaganda, even in America. in that time. So I was just, I knew I didn't like them.
I love that you call it propaganda. Like, because it's that's... So, like, state influence to support Man United. I love it. The propaganda is real. Yeah.
At least back then, it felt like it. Because any TV show or movie in America where there was a soccer themed or whatever, Manchester United was always the best team. Even if it was like a youth club team, they had the United logo on it and stuff like that.
So let me get this right. You decided to support Manchester City because you wanted to support an underdog, and they went on to be one of the most dominant teams of the last two decades.
What is funny, it's so smug. And I went on the terrace last week, and naturally they tore my story apart. They were just like, he's so fucking full of it. And I was, and I get it. It makes, it doesn't, it sounds typical, like, City fan, blah, blah, especially as an American, blah, blah. I get it. Mm. But it's what it is. We're here now. I believe
that you're not getting a paycheck from the Emiratis.
Not at all. I mean, I would take it. I would take it. But
hey, I'll take it. It's a strange one, you know. Obviously, like you say, when your family is not really into sports, you kind of have that freedom to choose. And for me, there's a lot of sports that, I mean, my family is either, you know, football, big football and Formula One family, but everything else I've kind of had my own, just pick and choose. And for example, I'm a big NFL fan, and I fell into supporting the Ravens, who are obviously a very good team. The year I started supporting them was the year before they won the Super Bowl, so I thought I was quids in, because I just love the Ravens. I've got my, you know, Lamar Jackson jersey, and back in the day I had my Flacco jersey, and I was like, really, yes, into it. And then we won Super Bowl and I was like, right, that's it, dominance. I'm finally supporting a team after being Let's a Villa go. Fan struggle. But once I was like, I'm gonna finally support a team that wins. Turns out I've picked the Aston Villa of the NFL. It doesn't always work out, but you never know.
Oh, I love that. Oh, man. A city enthusiast is a city enthusiast. I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I'm personally trying to take that whole chip off my shoulder about all of it. And I'm learning to laugh more about it, especially because the English, that's kind of what you guys do, you know, piss boil.
it's true.
Yes, and I need to thicken my skin there, and so that's my work in progress.
If I could do it again, and I could just pick any random team right now to just support and watch, after 30 years of being a Villa fan and watching a lot of hurt and a lot of struggle, I might just go for sort of like a banker, like a guaranteed win, because it feels nice to win week on week, which we've seen this season. But a few years ago, we were in the Championship and we were losing a stupid number of games, getting relegated, finishing bottom of the league. It's been a tough, like, I look about 15 years older than I am only because I support Villa. So take it, enjoy your youth, enjoy your longevity. You know, you've won the lottery, mate. Enjoy it.
I will. Let's talk about some transfers that were made over the summer, because big moves. Moussa Diaby. When West Ham got Kudus and Villa Diaby, I was annoyed because they're both players with humongous upside. But back to you. Paul Torres, solidifying the defense, set pieces, good player, great player. Quite a few sneak grabs as well. Zaniolo on loan, Morgan Rogers for the cheap, Tielemans for the free. Yeah. Aston Villa had ballers and needed some heft to the roster. I believe Villa did that this summer. What are your thoughts on the moves made by the club you support?
Yeah, it was an interesting summer. Obviously, we, towards the end of last year, we managed to just sneak into the Europa Conference League places. So we had, we knew we were going to have a busier year this year. We needed to bolster the squad, make sure that we had more numbers. We've been sort of ravaged by injury this year. And obviously after Unai Emery came in last year, we have a much bigger draw that can attract players that we wouldn't have been able to previously attract. Obviously you've mentioned Pau Torres, who has just been an absolute sensation of a signing. Mm-hmm. Just his first game struggled a lot. He came on after about 20 minutes for Tyrone Mings, who got injured, and he's obviously been out for the season since against Newcastle. And we got battered. I think we lost 5-1 or something like that. It was a bad day at the office, and it was kind of like a harsh introduction to the Premier League, and you know, the different flow and pace that he experienced in La Liga. But he's been sensational. Honestly, one of the best, if not the best, ball playing centre back in world football, in my opinion. Obviously, defensively, he's brilliant. But you know, there are some who are better in terms of pace and other attributes you want from a centre back. I'm sure there are people who are competitive, but in terms of like playing the ball, he could easily play in centre mid. He could, very similar to John Stones, actually.
You
got centre back sometimes in midfield. So he's been a sensation. Diaby's been a strange one because obviously he came with a lot of expectation, £52 million. You know, we were all so hyped about him, and obviously three seasons we watched him work, and the kid could ball crazy speed, his finishing, everything was just on point. It was exactly what we thought we wanted, and actually at the time Leon Bailey from last season hadn't actually had a great season, so there was a lot of debate as to whether he should stay amongst Villa fans, and you know, it was obvious, take Bailey off, put Diaby on. He struggled a bit this season, Diaby. I think he started off really well, and then he just kind of, his head dropped, confidence hit, and he's not really had the impact that he would have wanted or Villa fans would have wanted. But luckily, up steps Leon Bailey, our Jamaican king, and he has been on fire, the form winger in the league, in my opinion. Just, you'll see it on Wednesday, I'm sure, but, and you saw it, obviously, the goal scorer when we beat you in December. Just tricky, hard to get the ball off, never loses the ball, can take on anyone. And he's really stepped up. So, yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of signings. Morgan Rogers, obviously, just getting into it. Zaniolo, to be fair to him, he started off as a bit of a joke. There was kind of like a running joke that, you know, he just wasn't playing well ever, but he just had a good vibe. Like, I've always liked him because he just seems like the proper Italian, just like waving his hands around. He doesn't care. He doesn't know what's going on. I can just see him like stopping for like 10 minutes, having a beer or a coffee, and then just carrying on playing. Like, he's picked up form in the last few games, starting to look really good. But I think the most important thing from last season is Emery's continued to develop players, and you've got our existing players have become better. So you've got the likes of John McGinn, Ollie Watkins, obviously has had an incredible season. Leon Bailey, his improvement, Douglas Luiz, just all across the park. You've just had continuous improvement. So it's even that the same members of the squad are offering you something different. So, and it shows, obviously, you know, if Man City were in Villa's position, you guys would probably kill yourselves. But for us, this is a really incredible season, and we're thriving. We've only got one win less than you guys, and obviously that has all come from the contributions from the signings and the hard work from Emery.
Yeah, and there are some people out in the city dumb that are killing the team at the moment. I'm not. We recorded last night. The episode will drop later today. I am pretty strong about my feelings about this match that just happened at the Etihad, and a lot of Arsenal fans were talking real heavy and real big. And I think for Arteta to bring out his boys and practically park the bus the entire time was, in my mind, pathetic. I understand that's kind of what you have to do, because if you come out and you play City at the Etihad, you know what happens. We did it to them last year. This is a sign of their progress, but also you've just given Liverpool the freeway to run away with things. And I mean, to me, that's pathetic.
I mean, it's yes and no. You're right. You're right and you're wrong, because if the accusation for them is, well, you come out and play to win, and, you know, come against us knowing that you'll lose. Mm-hmm. And this is a tale as old as time in football. The better you are as a club, and we're experiencing it this year with Villa, because now we're a much bigger threat. Teams are sitting back, and we're always having to try and break through at like 11 at the back, and you know, people try and nick a goal against us and just kind of sit back, and it's a sign of respect, and it's the way the game is played. If everyone went out and played Man City at their own game, they'd lose, and you would win 38 out of 38 games. The only team, and I'm saying this without even being biased, the only team that's managed to do that to you in recent history is Villa, who played you at your own game, and you know, we wiped the floor with you, and it was such a big deal, and it had never been done to a Pep team before, that the stats we had in that game and the way that we restricted Man City, but with also the amount of shots that we had, was it broke all of the records against a Pep team, because it doesn't happen. So I think Arsenal, what they've done is that they kept themselves in the game. You know, if they lose and Man City win yesterday, then they're immediately their third favourites now, that they're stuck behind City and Liverpool. So I think the reason Man City fans will be upset is because of the high standards that you set yourselves over the last, you know, however many years. And it will never be enough for serial winners. Like, you win the treble last year, and then this year you're, you know, 3 points off the top, and it's doom and gloom. Villa fans would laugh at you and say you're all mental, because we should be so lucky to have had a tenth of the success that you've had in recent years. And they would be right. I think the whole Man City fan base should probably calm down. But I get it. I get where you're coming from. And don't go too hard on Arsenal, man. They're just trying to survive. They're out here fighting for a crumb, man. They're just trying to live.
But they're trying to live off of us. So that's why I'm coming at them hard now. And Aston Villa, you guys came and you played against us, like you said. And I respect it. Yes. It is a more defensive, but when it came time to run at us, y'all ran at us. There weren't a lot of tactical fouls. Like, I get tactical fouls.
Oh, I don't know if this is just maybe you cutting up a little bit. Oh, well, this is awkward.
Sorry, you're
back.
Yeah,
it's all right. I was gonna monologue until you came back, and
I mean, go for it. Yeah, that was crazy. I was had no signs, and all of a sudden it just went dead. I was like, oh, all right.
Well, we'll make an agreement. If you happening again, I'll keep talking.
Please go for it. If it happens, you just keep running. It's the Sam show for a little bit.
I'm here. I'll find a blue top and I'll talk.
I appreciate you doing that, but you wouldn't need to go all out like that. Oh my gosh, my internet. Yeah, it's just like freaking out right now. But let's move to Unai Emery. He's a mastermind. I very much enjoy him. Even a lot of people kind of hated what he did at Arsenal, but I was one of the few people that was like, give him a break. The squad wasn't the best, and he managed what he could do. And he left Arsenal, and he has had varied levels of success, like really high bouts of success at moments. And once he got to Aston Villa, I knew that was a very good move for him. Aston Villa obviously knew he was the man for the job, buying him out from Villarreal. What are your thoughts? How do you feel about the man?
Yeah, he's all right. I mean, he's a genius. He's a generational talent as a manager. He is up there with the likes of Klopp and Guardiola in terms of the way he understands the game. His time at Arsenal kind of paints a weird picture of him, because he followed on from Arsene Wenger, who was, you know, Arsenal manager for God knows how, was it 20 years, something like that. It's an impossible job. It was a lose-lose. There's no way to win. And you guys will find that when Pep leaves, which he will eventually, going on from an era. I mean, he categorically. I mean, he's not. I mean, unless he.
Nope, he's going to become a cyborg. Nope.
Do you know what? The funding you guys have, I wouldn't put it past you. But
that's what she's meant for us working on that now. Sorry, didn't mean to ruin this. Sorry.
It was an impossible job for him, and he still did really well. He's a European Cup winner several times. As a manager, and he needs an infrastructure, which he has at Villa. That the club is his club, very much like Pep at City. It's what he wants. We buy players that fit into his system. We train the way he trains. His academy trains the way he wants them to train. The players have to buy into his philosophy. We play such a different style of football than we've ever played before. His influence on Aston Villa is unquestioned. There's not been anyone who's wondering whether, you know, what his influence has been or how much he's integral to that. But he is amongst Villa fans. He has tenure. He can stay for as long as he wants. he can do what he wants. He can sleep in my house. He can, do you know what I mean? He could have my car. I'd trust him with my son. I'd let him, you know, do you know what I mean? Like, he'd babysit. Like, I have full faith in the man. And yeah, you know, the proof's in the pudding. At the end of the day, Villa went from 17th when he joined to now competing for Champions League spots and being only 5 points away from Man City, 8 games before the end of the season. So, speaks for itself.
Yeah, if there are certain managers that I could see babysitting kids, and he would do great. Unai is one of them. I could see Pep doing it. Klopp, absolutely not. Like Pochettino, I think he would literally like scoff in disgust at somebody's child. Like, I could see him doing it. Like, there are some people that absolutely not. They'd be like,
my son is 18 months old. I can imagine coming back to Unai Emery with a big whiteboard explaining tactics to him and like talking about inverted fullbacks and crossing over, and my son would just be sat there staring at him, and he would learn a lot more from Unai Emery than he has done for me in a year and a half. So yeah, I'd be more than happy to leave him with it.
I agree, I love it. Let's talk about the roster as a whole. Started a little bit with the transfer talk. I am interested in who, because you gave Leon Bailey a lot of love, but who on the squad would you say has been the standout? And it could be multiple players since it's been that great of a season, honestly.
Yeah, and it has been multiple players, really. I mean, obviously Ollie Watkins' contribution so far has been ridiculous. 16 goals, 10 assists. I have a bit of a reputation on my channel for not giving Ollie Watkins the most love. I've not been his biggest supporter or biggest fan historically. I've always said he's kind of flawed as a player. This year he's made me eat a bakery full of humble pies. So I am, you know, you have to give props to Ollie Watkins. Good news for you guys is he's potentially out for the game against Man City. Because he picked up a hamstring injury in the win against Wolves. So we have to wait and see on that. So we might be without Ollie Watkins, which is obviously a big deal. But really, it's all over the pitch, like I say. Leon Bailey's been incredible. Douglas Luiz has been doing what he does. John McGinn, who, again, is out for this game through suspension, has been the engine that kind of keeps everything ticking over. He's our captain. He's, you know, he does exactly what you'd expect him to do. And then you've got players the likes of Ezri Konsa, who, you know, for someone who potentially supports Man City or a bigger team like that might not know just how important or just what a good player Ezri Konsa is. But he really is, we call him the Rolls Royce of centre-backs, because he's, you know, he's quality. And then you've got Emi Martinez, who's, you know, the World Cup winning goalkeeper, made an incredible save against Wolves when it was 0-0, and he just does what Emi Martinez does. He's, in my opinion, he's the best one-on-one goalkeeper in the world. Everyone got to see that in the World Cup final. You know, when it was 3-3, Colomwani in last minute, and he made that massive save. The only difference is we get to see it every week, because he genuinely does pull off those saves every week, and he's kept us in that position, you know, that we're in at the moment. So it really has been, you know, individual brilliance, but it's been a collective effort throughout the whole squad. Subs, even people who have come on bit parts like Zaniolo we talked about earlier. He's come in clutch on a lot of times and got, you know, a couple of goals to draw, goals to win, you know, just even though he hasn't contributed much, it's the contributions in moments that has come from everyone.
Yeah. So first question, humble pie, is it sweet or is it a savory one?
Humble pie is bitter. It's a bitter pill to swallow, and it's if it I didn't know, is that like an English expression? Do you guys not have
no I'm just being since you said you ate a bakery of them, so I was just like wondering, well, if you've ate so many, I figured which one, how many have you had? Have you had some sweet
I've had 16 and then I had an extra 10. That's one for each goal, one for each assist. I love Ollie Watkins as a person, and I think he's brilliant. I want him to do well. Every time he wins and he succeeds, I succeed because my team is doing well. I can't lose either way. He's either crap and he's proving me right, or he's not and my team is winning. So I've explained this multiple times. I can't lose, but yes. You have to give him his flowers and give him his props where it's due. You know, he's had an incredible season and he's carried us as a team. So yeah, big props to him. Let's just see how it finishes. He needs to finish strong, but if he's injured, then you never know. It might be the last we've seen of him this season.
Oh man, I hope not. Emmy Martinez, Rebel Rouser, Shithouser, Hassan Extraordinaire. He's fantastic. I enjoy his energy. He's one of those dudes you hate to play but love if he's on your squad. 1,000%.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be exactly what it says on the tin. He's a shit ass. He is. He winds people up. He is the most childish 30-year-old man I've ever seen. But he is stunning at what he does. He's a fantastic goalkeeper and he's improved massively. And, you know, for a guy who went 10 years at Arsenal and only played 40 games to just sit in the background and then step into the limelight at Villa as our number one, you know, perform as he has done for Villa, break our clean sheet record, share the Golden Glove in his first season, go on to win the Copa America with Argentina. Then he won the World Cup with Argentina. Then he's got Villa, you know, supporting Villa in progressing up the table, getting into Europe. And we are still in Europe at the moment, still in the Conference League, in the quarterfinals, looking to take on Lille in a week. So, and now obviously challenging for Champions League, and he's been a big part of that. So I think it, like I said earlier, it's all the proof is in the pudding. And this is a very bakery themed analogies that I'm giving. Everything's got to do, you can probably tell why I'm overweight, because everything comes back to pudding and cake and pies. But yeah, this is, you know, it is the proof is in the pudding, and you can see what Villa have done since he's been there, and he's been a big part of that.
People a part of Shady Gang, they, if they know me, they know I'm always about the food. So please continue all of the food and bakery puns. I am here for it. On the one end of the positive, let's go to the players who have disappointed you this season.
It's hard to say anyone's disappointed us because of where we are. Like,
it's a good problem.
It's a good problem to have. I mean, there are players that, for me, like I've already said, Diaby will be disappointed himself in his contribution this season, because I don't think he's shown the best of himself. You've got people like, you know, Matty Cash, who had a bit of a slow start, our right back. I think he's also injured as well. We've got quite a few injury issues, but, you know, he's picked up recently. Zaniolo, he's come out in the week and said that he's disappointed with, you know, amount of game time he got. He's probably expecting more. But really, I think everyone's picked up at some point in the season and contributed and had good games. And, you know, it's tough because we've got players like Youri Tielemans who have come in and, you know, massive signing. And the assumption was just that he was going to start and he was going to be fine and just get going. And when he first came to Villa, he couldn't get in the team because we were just so stacked in midfield and we had so many options. You know, he would have been disappointed as well, but he's come on amazingly and he's contributing so heavily now. So I'm not really disappointed in anyone. I'm disappointed at the number of injuries we've had, players we haven't seen all season, like Buendia and Tyrone Mings, Kamara's a massive, massive player for us. Kamara, and obviously he's out with, we've got three ACLs at the moment, which is unheard of. Season long injuries. Mm-hmm. We've had Buendia, Tyrone Mings, and then obviously Kamara. So disappoints with the amount of injuries, but every player's done themselves proud this season. But it's not over yet. We still have 8 games to go. We're 3/4 of the way through the season, and it's not over till Fat Lady sings and we're going to the Champions League, I guess.
Yeah. And you said it, that battle for the 4th Premier League spot with Tottenham. It's on. True European football within grasp, 1 foot in Champions League, the other in Europa. But if you handle things, like you said, against Lille and continue to do things, you might not even need the 4th place. Me, City supporter from an outside perspective, if I were a Villa fan, I would be so proud of my squad and team this season. And I mean, it sounds like you are. I am low-key a huge fan of Emery. I talk positively about him on our show often. I don't dislike Aston Villa at all. I mean, I'm low-key repping colors of yours right now. So it's all love to you guys. This season, especially because like Newcastle was like last season. Hey, you guys did well. We'll see how you guys are doing next year. Maybe my energy might need to change. You beat us, so that's not the best, but you stay for it, stay out of our way. It's fine. It's nice.
I think we're pretty unobjectionable as a team. Like unless you're local here and you have like some individual rivalry, it'd be such a weird team to just have a beef with. Right. But no, I mean, we're coming, man. And you know, the hope is, the thing is, I mean, you guys have got 115 FFP charges on you. You could be playing in the Conference League last. I'm not talking about the European conference. The thing is, I actually don't wish. I'm not a big fan of FFP. I think it kind of restricts the ability for other teams to challenge, because the people at the top have got so much money, and unless you let other clubs invest, the saying here is that it's supposed to keep the people in power, mm-hmm. Because you don't allow anyone else to develop and innovate and to challenge the top six, which you are a part of. So you're a beneficiary of FFP.
Well, we're part of it now, but that's what these 115 charges are. They didn't want us in, and now we're dealing with it.
The problem is, I can't say a lot about it, but I'm a lawyer by trade, and I did I did work on the first defense for the Court of Arbitration for Man City for their initial charges about 5 years ago. And the problem is, shout out to me, I probably should have done a little less work, but I think the problem is with you guys is you have so many charges that you can just tie this up in paperwork for the next 50 years. I'm almost certain, nothing to do with any evidence that I've seen, but just from information that's publicly available, I'm pretty sure that you're guilty of about 113 of those 115 charges. So something should probably happen. If it's going to happen to everyone else, it has to happen to you. But hey, look, if you guys fall off and you want to go play in League Two and work your way back up, we will look after that top spot for you until you get back. And we talk about it.
Thank you.
We'll take a couple of players as well if you want.
I'm looking forward to learning about League Two when we get shipped down there. Honestly, it's going to be a good time. Tickets are cheap. I feel like it'll be a nice...
Well, Man City have a long history with League Two and League One and the Championship. Yeah. So, and to be fair, I think our biggest beef with Man City is since you guys did start getting the investment, I think you've signed almost every good player that Villa have produced, culminating in your robbery of Jack Grealish, who you now no longer play, and just berate on the pitch publicly, which hurts us as he is one of our sons, and you have you have sunned our Jack Grealish and you don't let him play, so the only benefit would be if you guys go down is that you stop stealing all of our players.
And can you call a $100 million transfer fee a robbery?
So if I go into your house, and I take your I'm going to give you an analogy. If I take your most prized possession, and I leave what I feel it's worth, and I leave a generous amount of money.
It was what it was worth.
Hold it, fine. Even if you say this in theory is valued at $1,000, and I leave $1,000, but I take it without your consent. I still think that's a robbery. I think the problem is you took it without the fans' consent. Although, to be fair, I will be honest, that 100 million has kind of saved us and helped us develop and grow. And I wouldn't mind. I actually wasn't mad about the greatest transfer. But the problem is you don't play him. And when you do play him, you don't let him do what he's good at.
Yes.
And it's really frustrating because when he was at Villa, he was one of the best players in the league by a country mile. And you bought him and you said, okay, you know all that good stuff you do? Stop doing that. And what we're going to need to do is just play it backwards. And it's a bit irritating. And that's why, and maybe a word to the wise for you, some of your listeners, that's why he's not succeeding at Man City, is because he's not being allowed to do what he's good at. So in case anyone thinks Grealish was overrated or we paid too much for him or he's just not as good as you thought, he is as good as you thought. He's just not allowed to do what he's good at. And that's just the Pep way. And it didn't make any sense for you to sign him in the first place.
We're with you. We want to... it's getting tight in there, but we think when KDB leaves, Grealish is the perfect person to kind of fit in our midfield and let him actually attack players and do his thing. I want to see Grealish thrive. We are big fans of the Gucci Puma.
Gucci Puma, I like that.
Yeah, that's our nickname for him. He's sponsored up.
He is.
But he's great. I love his energy. I mean, I'm not even talking about the whole drinky party thing. Like, I think people made too much of that. And I think he's going to be key to our success. And what he does, nobody can do. And unfortunately, the fouls that he earns, he gets his legs taken from under him. But they're so key. They're so needed. It brings so much calm. And being able to frustrate the other team just for him stepping on the pitch, that's needed, especially in Champions League and those tight games. To just have that one person where, for some reason, every player doesn't think straight and they just want to foul him, no matter if the situation asks for it. That's a skill.
Mm. Yeah, sorry, you're absolutely right. And that's what he's good at. And that's kind of, I think he would be key to your success if under a different manager. But if you had to choose between Pep and Grealish, you take Pep all day. So wait and see. I hear rumors that he might be leaving in the summer. You might try and recoup a bit of money. So you never know. Maybe he'll come home. For a significant discount for what you bought him for.
Significant. I don't know what that means.
We'll give you $20 and some envelopes to quote Friday. That's what I'll give you. Some $20 in envelopes.
I will talk to Man City's lawyers and we'll get back to you.
You have a word, let me know.
Well, let's look at Aston Villa's their previous five. We'll stick to the Premier League. Been honestly not bad. It's ups and downs, but you're playing in Europa League. FA Cup, you had a replay. So, yeah, just a lot of football in this time right now. So, but handled Wolves. Draw against West Ham 1-1. The loss to Tottenham, that's kind of the one that I want to talk about because it's just like, what happened?
Funny, because it's the one I don't want to talk about.
Well, I mean, understandably, red card 4-0 at home. It's a drubbing. That's not great. And then a banger match against Luton Town and another one against Nottingham Forest. I mean, okay, just you don't have to stay on it, but quickly, was it just the high line? What happened in that Tottenham match? Is it as simple as they just outplayed you?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much it was a bad day at the office. I mean, it's just a day where, you know, things didn't click. There was so much on it at the time. Like, it was such an important game. And maybe the occasion kind of got to the team. Yeah, we never really got out of the gates. We never really p- put our stamp on them. And we play very similar to Spurs. Like, we both play sort of like passing football. We both have a high line. Ange Postecoglou is famous for that as well. And, you know, sometimes you cancel each other out. We always struggle against Spurs. That was just one of them days. Obviously, John McGinn got sent off relatively early for you know, a pretty bad challenge. I don't have any issues with it being a red. And after that, it was just everyone just kind of stopped playing. It was one of those days. We had an amazing opportunity to sort of put some distance between us and them and sort of stamp our authority on that fourth spot. It just didn't happen. But the important thing was that, you know, the next game we bounced back. We beat Ajax 4-0 4 days later. Mm-hmm. And then a draw against West Ham and a really good win against Wolves, who we've got a terrible record against. We've got a horrible record against Wolves. So, you know, unbeaten since, it's a good way to go. It obviously doesn't help having Man City away a few days after that, but it is what it is. And that's what happened.
Get you out of here in time. We don't have to do the starting 11 because I have no idea what Pep's going to do, and I'm not the best at predicting starting 11s anyway.
I can tell you Villa starting 11 is going to be the exact same as it was against Wolves. Yeah, because due to injuries and, you know, apart from Watkins, depending on whether he's injured or not, you'll have Emi Martinez, Moreno, Torres, Konsa. Possibly at right back, and Diego Carlos, a centre back, Bailey, Diaby, Tielemans, Luiz, and then if Ollie Watkins is fit, then he'll play. If not, then we'll probably start John Duran up front, and I think we'll go all out. I don't think there's going to be any potential to of us playing sort of like a weakened 11 and just accepting the loss against Man City. We've already proved this season that, you know, if we play our game, we can beat you. And I think that's what we'll go out and do. So it's, it'll be more of the same from Villa. If you want to see that lineup, just check out the lineup against Wolves, and it'll be pretty similar to that.
Yeah, and I don't know. We have so many players that are in the air, and we should rotate. I'm the only thing I can say is I'm not sure if KDB starts. I think he needs rest, and I don't know kind of the way that Aston. You guys defend KDB. He gets through these little spurts where he loses the ball too much, and that could put us in a lot of trouble for a moment.
Yeah, for me, Kevin De Bruyne is the best centre mid I've ever seen play in the Premier League. I was literally having this conversation yesterday. He's an incredible talent.
Treasure.
If he's fit, he plays, and there's no downside to him. Even if he loses the ball, whatever he does, he's very much like Emery. He has tenure. He can change the game, especially against a team like Villa who play a high line. Having someone who can play those balls that no one else can play is invaluable. So I hope you're right, and I hope he doesn't start. The other problem that we have as well is Yuman Rodri, if he plays.
He's 100% playing.
Little known fact about Rodri: if he plays against Aston Villa, he scores. So I managed to win $600 last time we played you guys away just by putting money on Rodri to score, because the odds are always crazy and he scores every time. So I wouldn't be surprised about a Rodri goal tomorrow on Wednesday. Sorry. So he's going to be really important for you, and he obviously runs the game in that midfield. So
yeah, going to know.
But yeah, you do. You have. I mean, I hope Haaland starts as well, because he's in absolute terrible form.
He is.
You know, although he's a world class striker. I don't know what he was doing against Arsenal. He looked like he forgot how his feet work. You could take him off and put on Alvarez or put on. To be fair, you probably put Edison up front and you'll be all right. So we'll wait and see what happens.
I don't know what was happening with Haaland. I know. Maybe Gabriel is a lot stronger than he thought, and those random shirt tugs was really throwing him off. I know the City like the grass slick. I don't know.
The grass slick. Come on, yeah. Man. That's a waffle.
What?
What do you mean? I don't know what. I don't know what the.
He's falling a lot. He's falling. I'm just trying to make. I'm just trying to make sense of the situation. I don't understand why he was falling. I don't know.
To be fair, he had a bad time against Diego Carlos when we played you in December. Yeah. Diego Carlos is really physical. He got in Haaland's face. He threw him about a bit. Haaland's a big boy. What is he, 6'4", 6'5"?
Yeah. He's
probably not used to getting moved around like that.
But
he'll know about that. He'll have experienced it everywhere he goes. He's a brilliant footballer. He's having a dip in form. It happens. I just hope that dip continues until at least. And the chances are he's going to be reunited with Carlos, so maybe he'll want to get one over on him again, because he also got sunned in December. So let's wait and see what happens. But, you know, you can never count Haaland out. He's just, you know, what was it, 52 goals last year?
Yeah, he's due a brace at least. It's been some time. He's been incredibly inconsistent. It's been frustrating, but he's our guy, and I know he's going to show up when it matters, and this match matters, so please show up, please, my guys.
Still the top scorer in the league as well.
Exactly.
So worth noting, but Ollie Watkins not far behind, 2 goals behind him, so you never know.
Let's get you out of here with your score prediction. How do you see this match going?
I mean, we'll probably lose, if I'm being honest. I don't think anyone ever backs themselves to beat City, because it's, you know, it's one of those games where if you make it out with a point, then it's a decent result. And if you manage to win, then, you know, you talk about it for 4 months like we've done with the last time we beat you. So, look, the chances are Man City are probably going to win the game, maybe, you know. I do think we'll score. I don't think that you guys are, I don't think you guys are above vulnerability at the back. Mm-hmm. So maybe a 2-1, a 3-1. To be fair, the last few times we've played you, I don't know if you remember, you probably do being a City fan, but the last day of the season, not last season, the season before, where you guys won the league and we went 2-0 up against you. First year when Jack won his first title with you guys. And we were 2-0 up, and it was the Ilkay Gundogan show, and Rodri, you know, came back, and we always perform quite well against you at the Etihad, but we always lose. So I'll go for a 3-2. I'll go for a 3-2 City win, depending on which City turns up.
That Aston Villa comeback, the 3-2, that was our first live watch along we did for Shades of Blue.
Amazing. Well. Yeah. I'm not happy for you. it was a terrible day for us.
That's fair. That's very fair.
The thing is, it was Jack's first season, and it was that game where if we'd have beaten you, you would have lost the title to Liverpool, I think. And we could have been can we swear on the show?
Go for it. Have fun.
We could be the ultimate cock block to Jack Grealish in terms of win that. We were bitter at the time. I'm fine now. I don't mind his success. More power to him. But at the time, I wasn't happy for him. So so we really wanted to win that game. It actually meant nothing to us. We couldn't win, couldn't lose, didn't make a difference. Right. I don't know. I've seen Man City do that twice. Obviously against QPR in 2012. Mm-hmm. I watched that game. My whole family, well, apart from my brother and I are both Villa fans, but the rest of my family are Man United fans. So watching that was the 2012 one was quite fun in my household. So it was pretty interesting. But I would wish you good luck, but you don't need it. I'll wish you luck in your pending financial tribunals that you'll attend.
Thank you.
But apart from that, I've got no beef with City or your success. I feel like the way that you've done it is the only way you can do it in modern football. So more power to you. I love watching the team. Like I say, Kevin De Bruyne is one of my favorite players I've ever seen play. Some historic matches with Man City. Mm-hmm. It would be nice to do the double over you this season. So I've got my fingers crossed, but I wish you luck for the rest of the season.
Yes, I understand. Oh, Shady Gang, give it up for Sam one more time. Yeah, the guest, W guest. Please let the listeners, viewers know how to find you and what you're up to, Villa Park Podcast.
So I'm down there on Twitter. I'm always venting after a game, so I always say some wild shit and I let myself go and accuse everyone of everything. But obviously, the main thing that we do is the Villa Park podcast, at Villa Park Pod, on Twitter. Amazing podcast, sort of similar to you guys. I mean, we were a few years old, started off on a different channel and did our own, and we recently hit 3,500 subscribers.
Thank you
and we've got like an amazing base of fans from all over the world who come back and watch, and we have our own little family, and you know, we get into it. We all disagree with each other. It's one of those podcasts that, you know, sometimes you watch it and it's a bit too friendly and everyone's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you're right. We are not like that. We are the complete opposite. We disagree on everything. And we often have heated discussions, but I mean, yeah, obviously a lot of your fan base will be Man City fans, but come and check out. We've got we're recording a pre-match preview for Man City tonight. So go and watch that, see what the Villa are saying about Man City on the other side, and then we'll obviously do a match reaction afterwards as well, so check that out. And yeah, I think just in general for football and for content, we're pretty good, so yeah, please do check us out.
Yeah, they're a great follow. What you will, I guess, eventually find out about us, maybe if you paid that much attention to us on social after this, we are a pretty open community, and actually, in fact, and this next coming Premier League season, we are starting a FAWSL pod, an Arsenal and a United pod. So we're expanding outside to just the world of football. We're doing MLS also, but that doesn't have anything to do with England, so I didn't mention it. But yeah,
well, as long as I don't see you in an Arsenal.
Hell no.
Cap, or an Arsenal or a Man United cap.
I'm not Michael Richards. I'm not Michael Richards. I'm not him.
Well, it would be interesting to keep up with you guys and follow. I actually watched a bit of your stuff before I came on, and I was like, oh, these guys are so nice to each other. I'm gonna get slaughtered because we're just naturally so aggressive and abrasive. And, you know, very very British. We're really sarcastic, and you know, no one can say anything without getting torn for it. So I was like, I'm best behavior, but luckily I haven't had to be. So yeah, thanks again for having me.
Yeah, I mean, hey, and if you want to come and bring the edge next time, feel free. I adjust to the you know, the vibe of the guest. We get into it with each other on certain circumstances, like we cover the women's team, Gareth Taylor, if we ever get on Gareth Taylor. I mean, he's been doing very well this season, but like last season, we got into it. And
I'm going to smile and nod and pretend that I know who that is. I'm just gonna...
He's the women's team's manager, sorry. Okay, fair enough. Yes. Yeah. But he's much maligned for people who pay attention to that. And, and then Arsenal, the match yesterday, was basically the conversation we had about them earlier. I was calling them pathetic and babies and terrified and golden retrievers, and Sharpie had to be like, hey, I listened to you guys rant and rave, now it's my turn to talk.
In England we call that salty. I mean, you know, let's wait and see on Wednesday. Maybe we'll be as salty. I'll come back and I'll be on smoke, and we can do this again, but without the nice version of Sam, where I'm going to be like, you're money laundering. Like, I was like, none of this. Oh, I wish you guys continued success for the rest. I'm going to be like, hey, fuck
that, might
you
be great.
And Pep and everyone else that you've got in your lineup.
I might pop up on y'all's match review video.
Do it, please. You'd be more than welcome to join. But it's been really fun, so thanks for having me.
Yes, all right, well, Shady Gang, we will see you all Thursday for our lit stream Thursday night, where we have three most dope guests: Duck, City fan, used to write for Bitter and Blue; Roberto Rojas, he is an associate editor at ESPN FC, and then last but certainly not least, the homie Grego, my favorite.
I think you knocked out your mic. I think you knocked out your mic when you did that. You see, you've got to love American production values. This is what I'm talking about. Are you back? See, all this money,
I'm
buy you Haaland.
I move my hands too much, and I flick my mic. I'm getting used to this mic. So I'm too.
It's a nice mic. Sorry, I just thought I didn't want them to miss out on the rest on the ending. Like
I was hooked.
I was hooked, and I was like,
in the homie Grego, United fan. We got shows for you, Shady Gang. Let's get out of here. You know the vibes. Shady Gang, Shady Gang, Shady Gang.